Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know it is finished. Boast of anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain as his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful song, wonderful message. Music today has blessed my heart. I appreciate our musicians here at Sumter Bible Church so much. What a blessing all of you are to me. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, life on earth. As Solomon writes this, we've seen the phrase under the sun, and he looks at all the discouraging things that happen to us under the sun. We're living this life on earth. Isn't it wonderful to know that this is not our eternal home? We have a much better life in heaven to come. But we do have life on earth here. And as we look at this, we have just two things we're going to see this morning in our outline, quite a bit more on the first part, enduring life on earth or enjoying life on earth. Some people endure, some people enjoy. We'll see some of the reasons that Solomon has writes down here why it's such an endurance to go through things here on life, and then we'll see some reasons why we can enjoy this life on earth as well. First of all, he looks and he says there's painful oppression. Everywhere he looks, he says in verse 1, I returned and considered in all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was no power, but they had no comforter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, who lives within us. And Lord, as we look at all the things that this earth has to offer, certainly there's a time for endurance because we know this is not our final home. Those of us who know the Lord, we thank you for that. So we pray that you would help us to learn from your word this morning what you have for us so that we might enjoy the life you have for us, not just when we get to heaven, but even to enjoy the life here on earth. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at this painful oppression, that word oppression means to be weighed down with distress. And all of us have been to that point in our lives at one time or another, haven't we? If you haven't, before your life on earth is over, you will. It's just a part of life, isn't it? We're just weighed down with distress, and there was no comforter here. It says that word has to do with showing kindness. There was nobody to come and show kindness to them. And I'm glad that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, especially within our church, who show kindness to us. David, Solomon's father over in 2 Samuel, the king had lost his father, King Hanun, and so David goes over to comfort him because the king's father had been so kind and generous to David. And so David goes over to comfort him, to show some kindness to him. But when he goes over there, the people of Ammon, where Hanun was king, said, you think David really has come over here to be kind and comfort you? Oh, he's just come out to spy out the land, and he has an ulterior motive there. You know, and sometimes even the comfort and the kindness that we give to other people can be misjudged, can it? And as it was with David. And Solomon says the dead are better off. We read that in our scripture because they don't have to deal with this oppression anymore. And he says those that haven't been born, they're better off than anyone because they haven't experienced it at all yet. And so there is oppression on the earth, and we know that it's there. There's weariness in this life that we have, but God has given us a comforter to help us through these times of painful oppressions. And then we go to the next thing in verse 4. Solomon says, again, I considered all travail in every right work, and that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. So a man does what's right, he's rewarded for it, and he's successful, and he gains riches, and then his neighbors begin to envy him. And envy is a strong emotion. It's even greater than anger because the anger that's there, because this guy next to me is successful, I've planted, I've done everything he's done, and yet he seems to be rewarded more than I am, and the envy starts to boil there, and then he starts to take the anger that's there, and then he starts to do things negative towards his neighbor. It's a spirit of rivalry there that causes sometimes a successful person to be alone. Whenever a person rises to the top, so to speak, they say it's lonely at the top, you know, because it's people that see you successful, you know, they want to be your friend, but you're always wondering, they just want some of my money, you know. And so here there's this envy. This Hebrew word for envy here is a word that depends on its context. It can be very good as well. It can be used as zeal, being zealous for the Lord there. But when it's used in a negative context, it's envy instead of zeal. Well, Solomon looks around and he sees also laziness. laziness that brings poverty. Verse 5 says, the fool foldeth his hands together. In other words, the fool says, what's the use? I labor, I plant, I do my work, and I don't get any results. He does less work than I do. He gets better results than I do. Even if I get success, I die and I leave it to someone else. What's the use? And he just folds his hands and he quits there. And obviously he's failed once that happens. I'm thankful that no matter how many times we fail, it's not permanent until we quit. Because we haven't failed something until we quit trying. Just think of all the inventors that have gone before us who invented electricity and those things. You know, what if the first thing they tried didn't work? They said, well, forget it. You know, we wouldn't enjoy a lot of things, but because of their dedication and persistence, their laziness, the Bible has a lot to say about that. In Proverbs chapter 6, he says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of his hands to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come. And so poverty comes from laziness. And so Solomon looks around and he sees some people being successful and getting a lot, and then he sees other people that want to take everything that the successful have had, and then he looks at another group and he sees those that are poor and lazy, and they're getting what they deserve, and they're just wasting away because they're lazy. And so Solomon is looking at this life on the earth and trying to figure out all of these things that we endure. Well, then he goes on and talks about possessive desires. In the verses 6 through 8, it says, better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. And I returned and saw vanity under the sun. And there's one alone, there's not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. There's no end to his labor. He works and he works and he works and he gets and he gets and he gets, and he's never satisfied. And whenever a person has that possessive desire to get more and more and more, he's never satisfied with that which he gets. He's not going to enjoy life on this earth because he wants just a little bit more, a little bit more. And he gets that and he wants a little bit more. And that desire is that of the workaholic, as we sometimes call them. There's no end to his labor. There's the greed and the covetousness, and the eyes of man are never satisfied. He gets and he wants more and he wants more, and it's never enough. And the reason is because he's living his life for the things of this earth. And God hasn't intended for us to live our lives just for the present. My dad has said on many occasions, he says, even if there were no heaven, I would rather be a Christian for the joys that I have here on earth. And so God wants us to enjoy the things of the earth, but not be possessive in such a way that we think it's all ours and all the desires there. And this kind of desire leads to loneliness there and misery. And even a man like Solomon, who had all that one could imagine, yet he experienced loneliness and desire. So the things of this earth don't satisfy, especially long term. Maybe for a little while they might. Well, then he goes on and he looks at that loneliness, prevailing loneliness, in verses 9 through 12, where he says, two are better than one. He says, for if one falls, then you have a friend to pick you up. Isn't that wonderful to have a friend who will pick you up when you fall? Not just physically, but maybe emotionally or financially. If you've fallen and you need someone to come along and encourage you and lift you up. And so then he goes on to say a threefold cord in verse 12. That threefold cord, it says, is not quickly broken. You know, you think about that, and you think about even pieces of thread that are not very strong, that you can break them. But as you begin to weave three or more of them together, then it becomes stronger, doesn't it? And so it does with friendships, as we have this threefold cord. And three in the Bible is a number of completion. We see it in the Trinity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there. And Isaiah, when the angels cry out to the Lord, holy, holy, holy. There are three there. That may be a reference to the Trinity, but the Bible talks about three chords there. And you think about man and his friend and God. When you have two believers together that are friends and God is central in their lives, that relationship is strong. It's like with marriage in a triangle where you have God is at the top and he's an integral part of this union of man and woman and God. And as they grow closer to God, they grow closer to each other. And that threefold cord is strong and binding there. And those who were without God or without a friend, whenever they're going through times of loneliness and discouragement, they don't have someone to come along and pick them up. Aren't you glad for brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they're members of our church or others that we have outside of our church that are dear to us in the Lord, that encourage us and help us in times when we're feeling down? Because we all get that way, don't we? We all have times of depression and discouragement and loneliness feeling, but we're never alone because God has promised that he is always with us. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So if we start having that woe is me kind of attitude because of things of this earth just don't seem to satisfy, let's reflect on the Lord and who he is and the fact that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Well, Solomon goes on and he sees that there are some people that are just too stubborn to enjoy life, I guess. He says they will no more be admonished. In verse 13, it says, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. So it's better to have a child as king who will listen to wise counselors and make decisions on that than a person to be foolish as he gets older and he says, I'll just go it alone. I've had the experience. I know what I'm talking about. He doesn't have this threefold cord to strengthen him. He trusts in his own knowledge. He trusts in his own power. And he's going to go it alone, do it his own way there. And Proverbs 11, 14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I'm thankful for the multitude of counselors I have here, for those who serve on our school committee, for those who serve on our board of elders and deacons. You know, the fact that that I've been here a long time there and experience is just no substitute for wise counsel. And I'm thankful for the threefold cord and even more so of friends and counselors that provide wisdom. But stubbornness, when a person is stubborn, he goes on to say, finishing out chapter 4, says, verse 15, I considered all the living which walk under the sun with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So he continues to look at all these negatives, and we're not finished. He continues in the next chapter as well with another thing, those that are plentiful in words. It says, a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Someone who just talks all the time. I told you the story before about the two kids that were talking, you know, when they were bragging about their dad and about how smart he is, and he can take any topic and talk on it for an hour, and the other one, not to be outdone, and says, that's nothing. My dad can talk for an hour, and he doesn't even need a topic, you know, and sometimes people just go on and on and on. And so here he says, there's foolishness and a multitude of words. And then in verse 1, he says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. And as he's talking about a multitude of words, notice other parts of the body that he starts to mention here. One, he says, keep your foot. That is, we have an expression, watch your step. Be careful that you don't fall. And so as he talks about a multitude of words, it's very appropriate that he talks about the foot, because it's so important that our walk and our talk are consistent with each other. And a person who has a multitude of words, probably the walking is not going to be what it should be either. Psalm 37, 23, a few verses having to do with our feet. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.